Hey, hey, good day, everybody. Thank you for joining me. This is Miss Cece, the real infopreneur. And you are joining me on Black Talk Radio Network, the number one ranked Black digital radio and podcasting platform, according to the digital marketing firm FreeSpot. You can also find me on SoundCloud under the same name, Ms. Cece, the real infopreneur. And Cece is spelled S-I-S-I, by the way. So again, thanks for joining me. And today we will be talking with Dawn Michelle Hardy. She's coined as the literary lobbyist by Ebony Magazine. Dawn also runs a successful consulting agency called Dream Relation. Dawn, at what stage should an author seek your services?
Whether they choose to work with me and my team, or whether they're just looking for a publicist in general, oftentimes I tell authors, especially if they're choosing to self-publish and they don't already have a team in place of experienced publishing professionals, you want to try to do as much promotion as you can on a grassroots level. Oftentimes, you know, working with publicists can be costly. And to me, if you haven't actually just scratched the surface and used social media, have an author website, make sure you have professional and clean photos that you can use, and at least have a well-written book, an attractive cover, and a nice synopsis that you can share to promote the book. So there are a series of things that I always tell authors that they should have in place prior to even hiring a publicist. But once a person has done some grassroots promotion, again, capitalizing off of social media and just having a website, then at that point, if they're looking for, if they just won an award for their book and if they want to regenerate new press, if they have a landmark, so basically 5,000 units sold, 10,000 units sold, some type of benchmark for themselves and they've hit that, then that's a good time to hire a publicist as well to basically help, you know, bring the word about that you've sold X amount of copies, because oftentimes that's going to generate a level of curiosity. But most times it's really, I feel like if an author has spent 3 to 6 months promoting and working on their own book, that's a good time to then turn around and hire a publicist. If you get a traditional deal with a major publishing company, then you want to begin talking to a publicist about 6 months out prior to your book publishing.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying what grassroots level work would be, because, you know, someone just starting out, they may want to just have in the back of their mind that later on down the line that they do need a publicist. But if they could put those other things in order first, then they'll have it all together by the time they get to you.
And there's a lot of like workshops and summits and webinars and things online that go over like social media for authors. I plan a conference and I have several people who speak about social media for authors. Because again, social media is open 24 hours a day. And other than running ads on like a Facebook or Instagram, it's free. It's free to promote. So grassroots means you spend the least amount of money and you can cover a wider territory. So again, the internet is free and social media is open 24 hours a day. So that's always a great place for authors to start, because you can cover so many people without leaving the comforts of your home.
Wow, that's wonderful, especially today with what we're going through. Because you're not going anywhere. What a time to get that project going.
Listen, this is the time I've been promoting to authors that, you know, and even writers, people who are aspiring authors, but they haven't actually finished their first manuscript. Like, this is the time. Like, you should be using this time of sheltering in place to, one, everybody cleans out their closet week one. And then after that, you need to start working on the manuscript of your first book.
Yes.
Like, because divinely, I just believe this time has been carved out, because there's a remnant of people who have such big dreams and aspirations. And they just, their life was just so busy that they couldn't ever find the time to get it done. So I just believe that this is a global slowdown so that certain individuals can rise to the top where they're supposed to be.
I believe that as well. And if you can remove yourself from all of the monotony and calamity and the craziness and stop feeding into all of what is going on, although what is going on is very serious, just know that you're safe and you are perfectly cared for. I mean, look at all of the situation to where the bills are being put off and diminished. You know, I got a thing today. You know, my rental property they put a note on my door asking if I needed help with arranging something for rent or whatever. And I was like, well, why did I get this? I paid my rent, you know? So I called to find out, and she was like, well, yeah, you know, if you needed that, they're only requiring that you pay 10% of the rent, and then they're not doing any late fees. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
There's a lot of things set in place. And it's so important, again, that people really look within themselves and say, what is the thing that I've always been trying to do? Like, we all can complete this sentence. Oh, I'm too busy too. Mm-hmm. And then fill in the blank with whatever that is. Well, now the month of April, you're not that busy. So.
Well, it becomes this. It becomes now what am I too lazy to?
Right. Because I told, you know, some friends and family, listen, when you know that you can't move around or go to the places that you normally would go for an entire month, and, you know, and that's the month of April. So most of us pretty much got the shelter in place by the third week of March. So some people, it's going to be a 5-6 weeks. And this is just taking us to the end of the month. But I'm like, if you don't accomplish something, having been given 5 to 7 weeks as a minimum in which you have to stay within the vicinity of your own home, if you don't accomplish anything, whether that's lose weight, write a book, start a course, take some courses, yeah, then you really are unmotivated. You know what I mean?
Like, you need some therapy online.
Yeah, seriously. This is the time. So I'm taking advantage of it.
It is the time. And I appreciate you for elaborating on that, because some people probably need a swift kick right now. Instead of being depressed, go ahead and make something happen. So that's wonderful. So as a literary consulting firm, what areas do you focus on with your clients? If someone has decided to go with you, what is it that you focus on?
So for me, as far as like the genre of topics that I like to cover, I like social justice, pop culture, sports, history, biographies, memoirs, but also on the fiction side, I really love young adult novels and contemporary African-American fiction written by women of color. So those are the type of projects that I like to work on. In fact, right now I'm working on 2 memoirs, 1 novel, and 1 business book, which is for women of color in tech. So again, I like to do nonfiction and fiction, self-published and traditionally published, because literally out of the 4 books I'm working on, 2 are traditionally published and 2 are self-published. But if I put them all on the table, you wouldn't be able to tell which one is self-published and which one isn't. So, you know, those are the categories that I like to work in. And now when working with an author, for me, it's always good to come in at the beginning where I can help them actually launch the book, you know, from day one, figure out, okay, where are we going to go for reviews? Let's set up a blog tour or do something special on Instagram. But I also like for authors to come to me with ideas of things that they want to do. Because again, this is your vision. If you're an author, this is your one book that you're focused on. As an agency, you know, as a literary lobbyist, I'm working on multiple books at a time. So I like for authors to come with their own ideas, or at least just their vision and requests, because they've seen similar things online that they think would be beneficial to the promotion of their book. So at least come to the table with ideas. I'm extremely creative, but I do like when my authors come with just a level of ideas and a clear vision for what they want to see for their book.
Right. Okay. Well, so you have a few topics here on your website that you cover. So you do media outreach and promotion. When someone needs help with the media outreach and promotion, how do you help with that?
So as a publicist, the media outreach requires me to, you know, just as it sounds, reach out to editors, journalists, bloggers, podcasters, radio show producers, television bookers, and pitch the client's project, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, and tie it into an angle that is going to be attractive to the particular outlet and their demographic. So let's say if I'm pitching a book on relationships, you know, if a website has a relationship tab, then it already makes sense that the people who visit that website on a regular basis, relationships is a topic that they're interested in. So my job as a publicist is to do the media outreach and pitch those relationship outlets and have my clients serve as an expert or share content from their book or write an op-ed. Again, just to get to basically get the author's work in front of the media.
Okay. Okay. And then you also do something with production assistance.
Oh, okay. So, right. So, well, I'm not a production assistant. So basically what it is when my authors are willing to go on tour, I basically help put their tour together. You know, where they're going to go, work out arrangements either with a bookstore, a library. I've done stuff in beauty supply stores. I've done stuff in lounges. So it really depends, because again, for me, I like to be creative. So a bookstore is not necessarily always the best place to promote a book. And I know that sounds crazy, but as far as an author having an actual event, sometimes a bookstore isn't necessarily like the most sexiest place, you know, depending on how creative you want to be. Last year, I worked with an author. Her name is Jane Allen, and her book is called Black Girls Must Die Exhausted, and it's a novel. So she's based in California. I talked to her about, you know, because this book is called Black Girls Must Die Exhausted, it would be really good that everybody that's a part of this promotional process is a woman of color. And I was like, let's look for venues in LA that are owned by women of color. Think about some of the themes in the book. One of the consistent themes was that the protagonist was always getting her hair done because she was on television. So we reached out to a local beauty supply store in Culver City, California, that was owned by two Black women, and asked them if we could have the book event there. What it was going to do for the owners of the store is the women that were coming in for the book event, it's a beauty supply store. So of course they're going to buy hair gel, clips, packs of braiding hair, you know, shampoo.
Edge control.
Because I think that's what I bought that day. And they also had an oil bar where you can basically customize your own hair oils. So the demographics for the readers of the book were the same people that would be coming into that store to shop. So there was already synergy there. The author has a venue to support her book. The store owners have traffic coming in, and it's clear that those women, you know, are women of color, and they're going to support and buy products. So it was a win-win for both parties involved. So I basically produce events like that.
Okay, that's very helpful to the author. You already told us about the content consultations and that sort of thing, and how you help them along in providing your ideas as well as gathering their ideas. So let's talk about the a la carte services. What does that look like?
So a la carte services, I don't do those often. Oftentimes those are for authors who are traditionally published, and either they're not getting a level of traction that they need from their in-house publicist, or it's been a while and their book is picking up momentum because of independent work that they've done to promote the book. And they'll come to me because, let's say if you had a book that came out a year ago, and every April is Poetry Awareness Month. So if you have a collection of poetry and you want to kind of keep your name out there, an a la carte service would be that you would hire me in the month of March to strictly do a press release and maybe media outreach just to talk about your book during National Poetry Awareness Month. So we would literally just be working together for that month, with the focus being that it's National Poetry Awareness Month. So it's the ideal time for you as a poet to push and promote your book.
Wow.
So you don't necessarily need me for a whole year. The book actually came out a year ago, so it's not like it's a fresh book, but you just want that boost simply because the media and online culture placements are going to be talking about poetry in the month of April anyway, and you just want to be a part of that conversation. So you would hire me to pitch you during that time. Another example is November is National Adoption Awareness Month. Now, I've worked on memoirs where the author was adopted. So again, the same thing. We start maybe early October of me pitching them to basically either put on an event, like some form of a speaking engagement, media outreach. Maybe they just might want to do a radio tour and they don't want to travel at all. Maybe they just want to do a blog tour, but it's going to center around the fact that November is Adoption Awareness Month. And that's the ideal time for the author of that book to get into the media. It's a lot less challenging during that time because it's a day of awareness. It's a month of awareness. You know, just like a person writing a book on breast cancer. Of course, October, you're going to promote the book. So a la carte services are oftentimes for people where their book isn't necessarily new, but there's a certain season or month on the calendar where they believe they could get a lot of traction because it's a perfect fit. So then they come to me and say, I need you for this season so that we can capitalize on any opportunity during the month of April, during the month of November.
Wow. Well, you are really well versed in the different events that go on throughout the month. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. So one of the things I do when I do consultations with authors is I talk to them about calendar tie-ins. So a calendar tie-in, basically, you know, we all know that this month is Easter. And, you know, Ramadan is beginning this month, and June is Father's Day, and May is Mother's Day. So there's certain things that we, like Christmas is in December. So we know that there's certain holidays on the calendar that everybody knows about. You know, obviously Christmas, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day are major ones. But then there's also days on the calendar where it's National Beer Day, National Wine Day, mm-hmm. National Pet Day.
So pizza day, what yes.
Yeah, there's a National Pizza Day, there's a Margarita Day, there's an Assistance Day. You know, so there's tons of different days on the calendar that are not as popular as something like a Christmas. However, That's the ideal time. When I consult with authors, I always say, think about all the themes in your book, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. If it's fiction, you want to think about what your protagonists and your characters are going through. And if it's nonfiction, it's a little bit more easier because your book is connected to certain topics. But now you want to go and look at the calendar and figure out, and you could Google, you know, calendar tie-ins or calendar day of awareness and see what comes up. But you can find days that coordinate on the calendar where you can pitch your book on for that particular day. You know, mm-hmm. So if you were doing a cookbook and it was like bar food and you had beers in there and like pretzels, then you can pitch the cookbook on National Beer Day and maybe say, like, you know, these are some recipes that go perfect with beer. And since you're going to be drinking a lot of beer on National Beer Day, consider pairing it with these snacks. Mm. So that's, you know, that's a way to pitch that person's cookbook if it has, you know, bar and game food that goes well with beer. And you would be pitching it on National Beer Day because somebody is going to be talking about National Beer Day, and you as an author have something that you can add to the conversation, which is complimentary snacks from your cookbook.
It sounds like you could get other people tied in too, you know, who may be interested in beer, but they have no idea that it's going to be National Beer Day. So here you go.
Listen, so I worked, this is 2020, so maybe about 2013 or 12, I worked with an author who is in the state of Georgia, and her friend owns a bakery. And she was, again, same thing, self-published author looking for a venue for where she could have her first signing. And she mentioned to me that her friend had a bakery and she was willing to like make her cookies and stuff like that, you know, to pass out at the event. And I said, well, listen, I looked on the calendar and noticed that in October is National Cookie Day. So I said, listen, can we have the event at your friend's bakery? And every person that buys the book will get like a half a dozen of these like mini chocolate chip cookies. So again, it's bringing business into the bakery because the author is set up there. So both the bakery is promoting an event as well as the author. So that was a way where I basically brought two entities together. This author had a friend who owned a bakery. It's National Cookie Day. Why don't the two of you ladies get together and honor National Cookie Day with an in-store signing in the bakery and free cookies with every copy of the book sold?
Wow. Well, what a wonderful opportunity to joint venture. That's what it sounds like, a nice joint venture.
Absolutely. Yeah, because here's the thing. For most authors, you know, again, if they are self-published, they don't necessarily have a team of people the way somebody traditionally published does. So if you're going to have an event, it helps to have multiple people invested in promoting the event. So the owner of the venue is always invested because it's their location. And then the author is their book event. So at least you have two strong entities coming together to promote this one event, you know. And like they say, two heads is better than one. So it always works out that way. So I always look for opportunities like that when I'm doing consultations and talking to the authors. Let's think about who you know, the type of relationships you have, and then let's look at what opportunities are coming up on the calendar that we could possibly, you know, have you join in that conversation.
Wow. That is amazing. That's good. You do good work. So let's see here. Now you have some case studies that I saw. So tell us about your case study with the book, The Beast Side.
Oh, Dee Watkins. I love that book. That's actually my first New York Times bestseller. I'm very excited about that book. It holds a special place in my heart. So Dee Watkins is out of Baltimore, and the book, The B-Side, Living and Dying While Black in America, was his debut book, and it was published with a company called Hot Books. And I was brought on by his editor at the time when the book was finished, they were then looking for industry, you know, industry influencers, tastemakers, media personalities to basically endorse the book. So the first thing I did was, you know, basically do outreach of what individuals would understand a book about pop culture and social justice set in Baltimore. D being a young Black man, but having that voice that was speaking on behalf of the marginalized and just what it's like to live and die while Black in America. So the first thing I did was, you know, reach out to people like Michael Eric Dyson, some commentators from CNN, MSNBC, and had individuals that were willing to read and endorse his book. That went so well that after that, the publisher said, you know, can you stay on and help out with publicity? So from there, at the time, Melissa Harris Perry was on MSNBC. So he was on there. He was on a show called Democracy Now, which which is television, as well as they have a podcast that they run. Really, really amazing. He did Arise TV. He did BET. So basically, because he already had a platform, which was the reason why he was able to get this book deal, and then just coming on to help the publisher in areas where they felt weak. So there was an in-house publicist for his particular project, but they didn't have the type of relationships within the African-American community and the media to get the type of endorsements or press coverage that a book like this warranted. So the publisher brought me on to basically help. And this book, I think within its first 5 weeks out, it hit the New York Times bestsellers list. It was number 9 in its category, yeah.
That's amazing. Well, you still sound very excited about that work, and that's great because that means that you're able to continue with the passion that you have for your job. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and here's the thing. So for D, that was his first book. So he's gone on to write 2 more books since then. And they've all done well. So for me, my job as a literary lobbyist, I recognize my talent. I've been working with authors for 17 years. So I'm really good at helping first-time authors launch a platform that's strong enough that they can build a foundation and grow their careers. So like Dee Watkins was a first-time author. A gentleman I work with, Clint Smith, he's a contributor to The New Yorker as well as a TED Talk speaker. He had a collection of poetry come out called Counting Descent. That was his first book. He now has a literary agent and is working on a book. I worked with a woman, Sadiqa Johnson. She had a novel called Love in a Carry-On Bag. She self-published that book. By the time she finished writing her second book, she had won 3 awards from the first book. We got press. She was featured in Juicy Magazine as an editor's pick. We did events. And she did pretty well for a first-time self-published author. By the time she was ready to write her second book, the quality of her writing was strong, and she had good press and had won awards that she was able to get a literary agent and get a book deal with a major publishing house. So now she's working on her 4th book, and she's with a major publishing house, and she has a literary agent, you know, and she's gone on to win more awards and write more books. But again, working with her for the first time on her first book, Love in a Carry-On Bag, we were able to build a solid foundation. And for those who are serious writers and want to keep writing books, that foundation was established, and now Sadiq was on her 4th book. But again, her, Dee, Clint Smith, I worked with them on their first book. So I have a laundry list of authors that I've worked with. And again, it's their first book. So I recognize that working with someone who is going through this experience for the first time, there's a certain level of patience and understanding and information that they need. So I like to consider myself a partner with my author. And I'm going to teach them the process, but as they learn the process, it will help them come up with ideas and be able to tap into their own resources. But it's always rewarding to work with somebody at the ground level for me, you know.
Well, that's absolutely genius. Yes.
Yeah. My metaphor that I always say is like, you know, anyone can work with Beyonce. Like, you know, you don't have to really pitch her. Like who doesn't want to work with her? It's just a matter of working out the logistics. But can you work with the next Beyonce while Beyonce is still relevant and being played on the radio? And the person who can work with that next 16-year-old girl from Houston that nobody knows and help rise her up while Beyonce is still relevant, that takes a special skill.
Absolutely.
That takes an extra special skill. Because nobody knows that person. Why should that person be interviewed versus somebody bigger, a Beyonce or Alicia Keys? So for me, I've always looked at my authors and said, you know what? You share same demographic with other individuals who have large audiences. Let's just reach out. We know who the book is for. And as long as you know who your book is for, you know exactly how to get to that demographic. Well, as a publicist, I know how to get to that demographic.
Wow.
But again, you know, it's helpful to the authors, you know, when it's their first time. Like, you don't want to be soured by the process.
Right.
So I do my best to help authors have an understanding of the process so that they can enjoy it and find success.
Right. Well, I think, again, you know, you carry such an exuberance for the work that they don't have a choice except to get into it. I mean, because you're into it already, so they don't really have a choice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you're doing a wonderful work for your authors, I can tell. Now, lastly, let's talk about your virtual writers conference that you started just this past November 2019. Let's see.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. What is it called and what does it entail?
So it's called Publishing in Your Pajamas. So it's a virtual writers conference, 100% online. And this, I launched it last November during National Novel Writing Month, which is called NaNoWriMo.
Okay.
And so that conference came about because I had done a podcast interview and I was basically given suggestions on what authors can do where they're not spending a lot of money and they don't necessarily have to travel. So I basically was saying, like, you know, these are some things that you could do to promote your book, and you don't even have to leave the comforts of home or take off your pajamas. So then from that, you know, it was such a popular interview. And I was thinking, I was like, you know what? How many people are unable to go to writing conferences? So they don't have access to the information simply because they don't have time off from work, they don't have childcare, or they can't afford the travel. And at the end of the day, if you are someone who desires to truly write the next great American novel, but you have three kids and you just can't get away for a weekend to study your craft, then the craft needs to come to you. And so for me, making this conference online was my way of helping authors who I knew didn't have the means to travel to different writing conferences throughout the country. So okay. I basically used my resources as a literary agent and a book publicist, somebody who's been in the industry for 17 years, and I always curate a particular theme. So on April 18th this year, the theme is Position, Market, and Promote Your Book with Confidence. So I'm telling authors to, you know, take a second to pause on learning about the craft of writing. And at the same time, you should take some time to learn about how to position the book, market, and promote it with confidence. Because who wants to spend a year writing a book, having it edited, going back and forth 5 to 10 rounds of editing, only that when it's all said and done, you have no idea how to promote it. And it literally, you could be the next Toni Morrison, you know? We won't know because you don't know how to then get this completed work out to the masses. So that's what this particular conference this year is about, positioning, marketing, and promoting your book with confidence. Because once you know how to do those three things, you're going to find so many opportunities online and be able to build the momentum. So we have, there's a speaker who's going to talk about search engine optimization. So the first thing every author needs is a website. But again, when you have a website, if you use certain keywords and metadata, it will help somebody who does not know you exist happen upon your book based on keywords if they're searching for something. And those words happen to fall on your website. So we have someone that's going to talk about search engine optimization, how to grow your platform on Instagram, how using Pinterest as an author could actually be a better platform than using Facebook. And then I have someone that's going to talk about audiobook production. So for those authors, whether you're published or self-published, if you're looking to produce an audiobook from your work, we have an owner of a company who's going to talk to you about what that production process looks like if you want to do it yourself versus hiring a reader who will basically be the voice of your book. And there's a total of like 10 presentations, and I serve as the host. So throughout the day, I'm given different tips and fun facts about the publishing industry to help the registrars. Those who register, you know, move on in their career as it relates to positioning and promoting the book. So I'm excited about it because this is something I know all authors need this information.
Right, right. You know what? I'm excited. I'm very excited for this. And you say it's going to happen April 18th?
Yes, April 18th from 9:30 to 5 Eastern Standard Time.
9:30?
So also there's a 9:30 to 5. And there's a digital goodie bag. So the digital goodie bag will consist of, I've reached out to basically friends of the conference who are publicists, authors, literary agents, bookstore owners, you know, other people in the industry that may do book PR marketing, So what they're doing is giving me coupons and discount codes for books, free downloads, and things of that nature. So the same way you go to a physical event and you get a swag bag, this is being given to you digitally. So you'll get a file and it will have all these coupons and freebies in it for each person that registers. And you'll have access to the replay within 72 hours. And then that's a lifelong replay.
Wow, that is amazing. Okay, so let the people know how they can connect with this event and then also connect with you later, perhaps if they're ready to have you help them with their book.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So for the writing conference, it's publishinginyourpajamas.com. So all four words spelled out properly, spelled correctly. publishinginyourpajamas.com. And those who want to reach me, my email is dawn@dream, D-R-E-A-M, relations, R-E-L-A-T-I-O-N-S, dreamrelationspr.com. So that's dawn@dreamrelationspr.com. And on Instagram, I'm extremely active as the literary lobbyist. And I run at least once or twice a week. I have a live interview with a publishing professional. So next week, I'm going to be doing a book PR as well as first impressions. So for those authors who are finding it challenging to promote their book while we're on this shelter in, we're going to hear from media training experts that are going to basically help you to figure out how to position yourself at home in front of your camera, what clothes to wear, what kind of lighting you should have, what kind of technology you can do so that you can best present yourself, because you're going to be using your phone and your computer for most on-screen interviews because, you know, everybody's shut in. So Right. Every week I have a different guest that's going to teach something different. So that's the Literary Lobbyist on Instagram.
Oh, that's so amazing.
And again, publishinginyourpajamas.com for the writing conference. I'm really excited about the conference because
I'm excited
somebody
too.
Asked, like, when is it coming back? When is it coming back? And I said, you know what? Let's do a spring track, because also for me, doing it at the end of the year in November for National Novel Writing Month is because there's a group of individuals focused on the writing process. That's what the challenge is in the month of November. But I also realized that when you come into the top of the year with your list of goals, certain information you need earlier in the year so that you can spend the rest of the year working on it. So I decided to move the conference up to April instead of November, simply because it gives people then the rest of the year to work on what they've actually learned.
Okay.
So that you can learn and execute within the same year.
So do you have any last tips for the listeners?
Last tips for the listeners. What I would like to say is, if you are an aspiring author, and this is something that you've always dreamed of doing, which is writing a book, do not delay. Like, there's, you know, it's been said many a times in publishing that, you know, there's a book out there for everyone. And you don't know, there's something in your book or something in your heart that can help save a life or change a life. So I really truly think that people should take this time where our society has slowed down dramatically and really think about how you could leave a legacy in the form of a book. And as a literary lobbyist, I'm here to help.
Right, right. Well, you all have been talking with, or not talking with, listening to me talking with Dawn Michelle Hardy. And we want to just tell you thank you for joining us today. And we look forward to working with you in the future and possibly helping you with your future endeavors. And we want to just tell you good night. And we will talk to you again very soon.
Thank you so much, Cece. I appreciate you.